Thank you all for leading us into worship. And our kiddos are going to stay with us this morning. Kiddos, you get to stay in big church this morning. Oh, yeah. So moms and dads and mamas and papas and papas and nannies and grandmas and grandpas and VVs and everybody in between, you get to wrangle kids this morning. But you know what? It's good for them to be here. It's good for them to know what we do in this place, because I'm going to tell you what we do in this place is the same thing they do in their place, and they learn about Jesus upstairs when they're not with us down here, and we learn about Jesus down here and what his plan for us is today. So before I get into my message, I just want to say today is a very special day, and we're going to do a couple things. One, it's a special day because it's Memorial Day Eve. It's not Memorial Day today. It's the day before Memorial Day. And what we want to do is say thank you. Just an unmitigated, unconditional thank you for everyone who served in our armed forces in any way whatsoever. We pray every time we meet, we pray for those who are serving. We have families in our church who serve, and we use them as representatives, and we say thank you for everyone who served, is serving, all that. Thank you all so much. Today's a special day for another reason as well. I wonder how many people, not in my Sunday school class, know what today represents on the Christian calendar. What's today about? Does anybody know? Pentecost. We all must have been Pentecostal. Look at y'all back there. That's right. The day of Pentecost, that's part of the gospel message. Here's part of the gospel message. We know the basics. We know Jesus was born of a virgin. We know that he lived a perfect and sinless life. We know that he was the great sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who went to the cross for your sins and my sins, that we might be able to live forevermore with him. That forevermore means it starts when you put your faith in him, by the way. It's not something you've got. You don't got to die to go and have fun in Jesus. You got to die to yourself in this world, but you don't got to be put in the grave. Man, we start living for Jesus, we put our faith in him, we come out of the grave. Just like he came out of the grave on the third day was the resurrection from the dead. And he showed himself and he was among his apostles for 40 days. On that 40th day, he ascended up. It's called the ascension of Christ. That has meaning for us as Christians. Can I tell you this? Jesus was accepted into heaven at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to intercede for us. And if Jesus is accepted by the beloved, guess what? Everyone who's in Jesus Christ is accepted by the beloved, by God. Jesus' acceptance in heaven means our acceptance in heaven because we've put our faith in Christ. Now, 10 days after that was the Jewish festival of Pentecost. It's 50 days after the Passover. And it's on that day when there was a big old group of people that were in Jerusalem hanging out for that Jewish festival, that the Holy Spirit came down and filled about 120 Jesus followers and turned the whole world upside down. Jesus' plan was never for his people to become so polished and perfect in their presentation of the gospel that the world was going to flip over. His plan was they would get filled with Holy Spirit power, and then they would go in that power of God, and that's how the world would get flipped upside down. Not by us being good little boys and good little girls and carrying our little religious duty here and there. It was by God empowering us, the followers of Christ, to do what he said. It takes the power of God. Y'all, we can't do what God's called us to do in our own strength. Think about what you try to do in your own strength. Think about when there's a relationship that gets sour and you try to go in your own strength and apologize, and the person thinks, they didn't really apologize. They're just trying to get something out of me. They're trying to make me weak. You try to do, even when we try to do good things in our own strength, it doesn't always turn out right. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in the kingdom? We weren't called to do this in our own power. We're not called to maintain our relationship with Christ in our own power to be the best little boys and girls we're meant to be. We need God with us. Y'all hear that? We need God with us. We don't need to just know he's on the main line somewhere. We can, got Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. That's too far away. I got to have Jesus on the heartstrings. I got to have Christ in me is the hope of glory. It's not Christ near me. It's not Christ with a GPS locator so he knows where I am and I know where he is and I can call when I'm, you know, I got like the bat phone and I can call him when I'm in trouble. I need to have him with me to carry out the plans he has for me in this world. It's a spiritual relationship. It's not a religion. And that's what Pentecost means. Pentecost is when God gave the church the power to do what the church was called to do in Jesus' name. And can I tell you, it was an ongoing thing. He still gives power to the church to do what God has called us to do in Jesus' name. It's not up to you and me. It's up to you and me to stay with him. That's it. Let him give us the power that we need. So on that day, just to give you, you know, the little bit, man, things started happening. They started speaking in other people's language. People were hearing in their own language, 13 different languages. Peter started preaching the word of God. Isn't it funny? They were empowered with the Spirit, and they didn't go off preaching something else. They're empowered by the Spirit, and what'd they do? They preached the word of God. Makes me think that Spirit-empowered preachers ought to be preaching the Word of God and nothing else. And that's a commitment God made in me early. And all of a sudden, people got changed and people were convicted. That 120 people, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in them, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. Like 3,000. The largest church in Grenada, Mississippi right now probably doesn't have half 15,000 people, 3,000 people in it. Probably doesn't have half that. I mean, I know the big church. We know, you know, Emmanuel's a big church. They have 2,500 people on the roll, but something tells me they ain't 1,500 people right there in church right now. In one day, that's the power of the Spirit. It doesn't take all of our strength and us grunting and groaning, oh, we're going to make Christianity happen. We're going to be ugly to people until they get Christian in Washington. Man, that's baloney. Just let the Spirit of God work in us. That's the message of the gospel, the good news that happened on the day of Pentecost. Of course, the gospel doesn't end there, and I'm not going to preach on this, but I do want us to remember the gospel has a great day of climax, a great day when everything is brought into consummation, a great day, a great finale. It's called the return of Christ. It's coming. He's coming one glorious day. Okay, that's the full gospel message. What I want to talk to you today is about how God's Spirit reveals things to us and how we need to receive God's Spirit. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about. And Paul is talking, teaching a church in Corinth, a church that needs a lot of help. It reminds me of Christ Community Church, a church where there is people who are just sinners and sinful, and they needed help from God, and they weren't interested in putting on religious airs so people thought better of them than what they were. They were just open to be Jesus people, but they needed help. And Paul's instructing them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First, I'm trying to get out of the jet stream there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 6 through 14, and we'll come back and talk about it. But you listen to how the Spirit interacts with his people. Chapter 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to the natural man, nor can that natural man know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time and the opportunity that we have to come and worship you, to come and say, Lord, indeed we need you. We need you every hour. We need you in our heart. We don't need you near us. We need you in us. We don't need you close. We need to be in you. We need to be surrounded and infilled with the Holy Spirit of God, because you've given us a mighty task. First and foremost, to honor you and worship you, and then to lead people. You've called your people to be a leader of people, that they might grow in an ever-maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be God-honoring and people-leading. We can't do it without your power. Show us what we need, Lord. Show us more of Jesus. Give us more. Show us more of what we've received freely from you. Help us to live fully as the children of God. We love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. To get the idea of the value of the Spirit-filled life, living a life full of the Spirit of God, it reminds me of my pastor, Ray, who I shared with you last week a little bit about him, and he just went to be with the Lord. But there's a story I heard that reminds me of him, of a mature Christian who's just loving the Lord, walking through a path, and as he comes about, he kicks a stone, and he looks, he picks it up, it's about as big as his fist, and he polishes it off, he looks at it, and it's a diamond, and it looks like just what it is. It sparkles, it's shining, it's tremendous. And so he puts it in his satchel and he just kind of keeps walking. And all of a sudden another man comes up to him and says, what's going on? How are you today? He said, I'm blessed, man. I'm highly favored. Doing well. And by the way, I found this thing here today. And the man looked at it and he recognized it as a diamond. He saw that it was about as big as his fist. He said, you need to give me that right now. Here, he give it to him. And the man runs away, jumping and laughing. He takes it to a jeweler. The jeweler confirms it's a sure enough diamond, the biggest diamond he had ever seen in his life. The highest quality, the greatest of, you know, everything that they judge a diamond by. It was the best. It was going to set, he was set for life. He never was going to have to work. He was never going to have to do anything. He had this diamond now that was going to be all that. And he just was happy. Can you imagine? It's like winning the lottery, you're set for life. He was just happy and laughing and like, woo, man, this is so awesome. And then he says this. After a few days of thinking on it, he got bothered by something. Something just really set him to thinking. And he went and he found that mature Christian, he found that teacher, that pastor, and he took the diamond and he gave it back to him. He said, I don't want this. I want whatever it is you have that allowed you to give up this so easily. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's knowing Christ. It's the greatest treasure on earth. It's far more valuable than what any diamond or lottery ticket could ever bring to you. And that man said, that's what I want. What is it that you got that you could pass on that so easily without fight or fuss? I want that. That's what we're going to talk about today. Really having your own personal Pentecost, where the Spirit of God fills you up, lights you up. And can I tell you how he does that? He doesn't do it in some kind of strange thematic, dramatic way where we start doing, you know, I'm not going to limit the Spirit of God, but I want to tell you the ways the Bible says when he reveals himself, what does he reveal? What is he doing? First off, I want you to know it's not anything that is just human wisdom. It's never just going to be the common sense We always get to thinking in the church, I believe this, when we have common sense problems and practical problems, we always want to handle them in our own sense, our own strength, our own wisdom. But in the passage I read to you, it says, we're not preaching to you the wisdom of this world. We're not preaching to you the wisdom of the power and the rulers and the common sense of this age. Now look, there's nothing wrong with common sense. You need to exercise some. But when it comes to spirit-filled living, it doesn't just get summed up by living with common sense or living according to your best ideals or values. It says in verse 6, we don't speak the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. This is a hidden wisdom. The rulers didn't know it. Have you ever got a sense that there's something wrong with this world and everybody's trying to fix it? Everybody's trying to fix what's wrong with the world. Why do we have race problems in this world? Why do we have economic, social, you know, poverty and upper class, and we think that somebody that has a lot of money is somehow better than somebody who doesn't have any money? That's baloney. Haven't you met people with a lot of money and found some to be jerks? And met somebody that has hardly no money and found out that they're the salt of the earth, just downright good folks? Sure. Does that mean the people in the middle, they're the ones who are right? No, we're all people. It don't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much influence or how big a truck you drive. I say that. We went out truck shopping, and my mom loves big trucks. And if y'all know me, I'm a big guy in a little car. And my kids are going, Daddy, you need a truck, man. You need a truck. And I said, I'd be glad to have a truck. But you know what? Having a big truck don't make you a big man. There's a wisdom in this world that says what you look like on the outside and what you own on the outside is what makes you right and what makes you good. That's the wisdom of this age. The Spirit's not in all that. He's not trying to make you look good. He's not trying to make you look manly. He's not trying to make you look like a godly, wholesome woman. He's trying to make himself look glorious through you. And that's never the wisdom of this age. We always want the spotlight on us. I'm going to tell you, you can vote your conscience, vote for whoever you want to vote for. But the problems in this world is not going to be answered by human wisdom, not by a solo individual who's so wise, like an Einstein-type person. It's not going to be handled by a group of people like a legislative body or the American government. It don't matter what party's voted in there. They ain't going to be able to solve the issues of this world because these issues are spiritual. And there's only one thing that can handle these problems, one person, and that's God. That's it. You can see how we handle people. Let me talk about a sensitive issue. Why in the world would anybody have been so threatened by a black preacher running around the South preaching that we ought to treat everybody equally under the law and according to the Constitution? Why would somebody think of assassinating that man, that nonviolent civil rights leader named Martin Luther King Jr.? What is it about the wisdom of this world that said we need to put a bullet in his brain? What is it that did that? It's sin, it's fear, it's prejudice. Can I tell you what it is? It's the spirit of this world. What is it about the early Roman emperors that saw Christians who started orphanages, who were starting hospitals, that said, we need to take those people and feed them to the lions? What is it? What was it about Jesus Christ when people looked at him? He wasn't violent. He didn't carry a sword. He didn't have a pistol on his hip ready to, he wasn't starting some revolution to undo the political leaders at the time. He was bringing in a kingdom that was going to end all kingdoms, sure enough. But it wasn't violent, and they were welcome in it. There ain't going to be but one king anyway. But you know what? Even though Jesus Christ was handed over by the determined purpose of God, never think that Jesus was a victim. This was God's plan from the foundation of the earth that he died on the cross for us. There's no other way for us to be saved but Jesus died on the cross from us. But I want you to see man's wisdom, how eager the religious leaders of his day, how eager the political leaders of his day were to kill him. They're eager to kill him. What was he doing? Why was he such a burr under their saddle? It's because he had a spiritual wisdom from God that they didn't have. And I tell you, the only thing that the leaders have accessible to them to lead, the only things they have are the same things we have in the natural realm. If you look at verse 9, it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man." Can I tell you the only thing someone who has not been born again through the Spirit of God, the only things they have to work with is what their eyes can see, what their ears can hear, what their mouth can taste, what their hands can touch, what their imagination can imagine, what their nose can smell, the senses, this physical self. They have nothing else by which to go by. They can read it. They can hear it. But if they don't have the Spirit of God, they're never going to know what He's saying. They're never going to understand. They're never going to understand this word that we know to be the true and living Word of God. Look, all the king's horses and all the king's men, they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. They can't take this world that's been dipped into sin because of the fall, and they can't plunk it back out and make it all right again. They can't do it. They can't do it. Can I tell y'all something? We can't do it either. We can't do it either. But we can know the one who can. And that's what I want to ask you today. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know the one who can fix it? Can I tell you that He is standing ready and standing by right now to say, "Yes, I want you to know me." Listen to the rest of these verses. Listen, every verse that I'm going to read, the Spirit of God is mentioned in. Verse 12, 11 and 12 really talk about how God wants to reveal to us. He says, although the eye can't see it, although the ear can't hear it, although the heart, the imagination, and the will can't perceive what God has prepared for those who love Him, it says, God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. God has revealed those things to us through His Spirit. There's things that God wants us to know. You know, when you talk to people, if you talk to them about heaven and hell, most of the time they're going to balk. I don't know about all that. I kind of believe, but I don't really believe. I don't know that heaven's worth living for and that heavenly life. And I don't know if hell's going to be that bad that I don't want to go. Old Hank Williams Jr. said, if heaven ain't like Dixie, then I don't want to go. Well, you don't got to go. But can I tell you? God has prepared a place that He has revealed to us through the Spirit that is so far beyond anything you can think, ask, or imagine. It's a place of endless blessing and joy in the presence of God where everybody is family. And it's like, whoo, I want to go there. Hey, I don't want to just go there someday. I want to go there now where I live in a place where it's been revealed by the Spirit of God to a group of people that we got a heavenly life right here on earth where we can say, you're my brother, you're my sister, and we all love one another in the Spirit of God, and what a life it can be. God's ready to reveal that to you and me. He's ready to reveal a bond that's deeper than the blood that's running through your siblings' veins. He's ready to reveal a relationship that goes so much deeper than the intimacy of the greatest relationship you have, but it's spiritually related to us. It's nothing you're going to find through common sense or wondering, why are you so close to them? Or why are these people so nice to you? You ain't going to figure it out by reasoning. You got to let God reveal that to you. The body of Christ is being knit together. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Every ligament, every tendon, every muscle, all the bones, the body of Christ is being, it reminds me of that song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone, that's as far as I get. Y'all get what I'm saying? He's knitting us together. How many of y'all are here from Michigan? Raise your hand if you were born and raised in Michigan. Amen. Amen. All three of us. Four. There's four. There's five of us. There's six of us. How many of y'all were born and raised in Iowa? Oh, we got an Iowan. What do you call folks from Iowa? I'm sorry, Miss Janice. We got an Iowan. Anybody, you know, now how many were born right here in Grenada, Mississippi? Grenada, Mississippi, raise your hand up. Woo, look, a whole bunch. Now, I was going to say, how many of y'all drink beer every day? No, I'm not going to do that to you. Be like, but listen, I figured why I had you raising your hands. What you look around, what do we have in common? I mean, you know, we look around, and it's got to go beyond that we are born in the same place, had the same experiences, know the same people. It has to be something deeper than that if we're going to do what God's going to do. And I'm telling you, God reveals that connection. But God also relates us to himself in that revealing. Look at verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Listen to this. He says, just like you can live with somebody for years and years and not necessarily know exactly what's going on inside their heart, unless their spirit just able to, you know. I had a well-meaning sister yesterday. I was at a training meeting for a chrysalis camp, and I gave my talk, and I y'all know I love to talk. I love to preach. This is what I do. This is what I love to do. And so I got done, and she said, I just bet you sparkle for Jesus everywhere you go. And I said, I smiled. I'm like, yeah. I was like, if you only knew. You don't know me. You know, I want to sparkle for Jesus everywhere I go and leave a little shiny trail behind me. I know it's kind of weird, but you know what I'm saying. But the truth is, that's not who I am. And in my spirit, I literally did think, you don't know me. You don't know me. You're projecting something on me, but that's not me. And I wonder how often that happens to God. You're projecting on me what you think of me. You think I'm altogether like you. You think I'm altogether angry. You think I'm like what other people have said. But you don't really know me because you have not taken heed to the revelation of the Spirit that I've given you so that you might really know me. The deep things of God are revealed by His Spirit, and His Spirit's been given to us. That's the next part. We receive that Spirit. That's the Spirit we receive. Now, when do you receive the Spirit of God? There's different people in different churches have controversies. Part of the denominational distinctions ride on this answer I'm about to give you. You want to know what I'm about to give you? I'm going to tell you, you don't stop receiving the Spirit of God. You receive the Spirit of God when you're saved. But you know what the Bible says? Keep being filled with the Spirit. I heard preachers say it this way. We're like a leaky vessel. We get poured with the Spirit, and then we get into the flesh, and we need to keep receiving the Spirit of God. Do you think you'll ever empty God out? No, I heard a story where a rich fella said, this is what he said. He's a good man, a rich man. He was building a building, and they was bringing dirt to the building. And the guy driving the dirt said, you know, I think you got plenty of dirt already. You don't need any more dirt. And he said, I want more dirt. He said, but sir, listen, you don't need any dirt. And the man looked at him and said, listen, you'll run out of dirt before I run out of money. Just keep bringing what I tell you. I thought, my goodness, that's a lot of money. But listen to this. God's got a whole lot of Spirit. You aren't never going to tap His source. You're never going to empty His well. You're never going to run out where God's going to say, oh, no, you've received too much from me. I'm cutting you off. Oh, we ought to always be looking to pray in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. These are the things the Scripture tells us. Be filled with the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. This is what He says. And I just quote this. God's Spirit has been given to us. If we really knew what that meant, we're just going to stop. I'm going to take off my glasses so I can't see any of y'all. Y'all turned into one big blur. Looks like one person, one really big person is here right now. Multicolored shirt. If you understood and I understood that we've been given the Spirit of God, we would never be afraid again in our lives. If we understood that we'd been given the Spirit of God, we would never doubt our salvation again a day in our lives. If we understood that we've been given the Spirit of God, we would never doubt what God could do through us ever again a day in our lives. If we understood this one verse right here, you've been given, you've received the Spirit of God, and he wants to make sure we understand that. In verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, because I can tell you there's a lot of spirits out there. The spirit of the world doesn't do anything but to steal, kill, and destroy, to conform everything to its image, and to kill everything that won't be bowed down by it. That's the spirit of this world. That's not the spirit we receive in Christ. Not that spirit of competition, not that spirit of pride, not that spirit of ego, not that spirit of self. Oh, how the world likes to puff up self, to make us self-indulgent, self-righteous, self-pitying, self-justifying. Oh, it likes to puff that up, puff up the self. We have sports stars and politicians who write memoirs on their life and they haven't done anything. Why do they do it? To puff themselves up. We have Christians and pastors who talk and talk and talk. And I told you I'm a talker, but I'm going to tell you something. When we let God work through us, we won't be like this. But if we just talk and we just do these things, what happens is it puffs us up. How many people did we have in church? How big was the offering? What did people tell you? It puff and puff you up. That's the spirit of the world. Look how careful verse 12 is. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. That's who we've received, the spirit who is from God. If you know you received the spirit who is from God, I'm going to sum it up in one word. You should be free. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty. You should be free. So every place you find that you're bound by fear or shame or sin, you bring that right back to God and say, God, but didn't you give me the Spirit that I might be free, that I might be clean, that I might be cleared of all this baggage I'm toting around? Bring it right back to His Spirit. Bring it right back to His promise, and He will free you from those things. Because you're not your own Savior. You're not your own sovereign. You have a Savior and a sovereign who's given you His Spirit that you might be free. It's not the spirit of the world. It's not that look out for number one. Oh, I know the feeling of being vulnerable because you're afraid if you let somebody know your weaknesses, or if you put someone else's needs before your needs, that you will be taken advantage of, that you'll be trounced upon and walked upon and misused and abused. But I also know that freedom that says, I can serve anybody in Jesus' name and not worry about being taken advantage of because I've been taken care of by the one who's put His Spirit in me. What a great Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in us. Oh, I hope that we'll come to a point where we'll have just a freedom. You know, that Spirit comes to tell us the things that God's given to us freely. That's the last part of that verse. It says, for we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. That's experiential knowledge that we actually may experience. Not know through Bible reading or trivial pursuit, but know through experience the things that God has given freely to us. Woo, He gave us. Can I tell you, I can sum up what He gave us. Let me tell you what He gave us. He gave us grace. And grace is not a theological idea. Grace is a description of the Son of God, whose name is Jesus Christ. He's the man of grace. He's got the face of grace. Grace is Him. And that's what He's given us. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. And you all didn't deserve it. I didn't even come close to deserving it, but He gave me freely the Son of God. I could have never earned Him. I could have never called Him out. I could have never begged enough. He gave freely to us Jesus Christ. And if Jesus doesn't answer the questions you have, your questions will never be answered adequately. If grace is not the answer to your problem, then the problems you're looking at aren't the right problems even to be looking at. Let those things go. Bring all your questions to Jesus. Let him answer every question through his grace, and watch what kind of freedom you have from the inside out. That's the work of the Spirit. Do you know what the apostles were doing on Pentecost Day? You know what they were doing? Same thing they had been doing the 49 days before then. Hiding in the upper room. Doors locked, afraid to go out, afraid of what would happen to them if they knew, if they were identified as Jesus followers. What would happen to me? What would happen to me if I opened my mouth? What would happen to me if I don't go out there and they identify with me with Jesus? What will happen to me? Maybe they'll crucify me like they did him. But what happened the day of Pentecost? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit infused them. And, you know, we think that this was some kind of, I don't know, some mystical thing. Can I tell you exactly what happened? Because I know what the Holy Spirit does in someone's life. He brings Jesus to them. Can I tell you, once they went out on Pentecost, they opened their mouths wide and they began to preach the word of God, and people started getting saved. They got arrested. And you know what their captors said? These folks have been with Jesus Christ. But Jesus had been a long time gone. It was the Spirit in them working. He's given that freely to you. You don't got to pay for that. You don't got to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. It's been freely given to you. God reveals himself through the Spirit. We receive the Spirit of God that we might experientially know God and the things that he's provided for us. He teaches us. So verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Are you being taught by the Holy Spirit? Are you receiving from the Holy Spirit? Are you receiving who God really is, the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit and his inspired word? Just asking. Because how could we be a Spirit-filled church? How could we give up anything in this world and yet know that the one who lives in us is more valuable than anything else? How could we do that if he's not teaching us? Now I want to end with this challenge, and it's in verse 14. It's why people reject the Spirit. God's Spirit has been rejected by many. Why? You know, there's a time when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. He's not regional. He's not the God of America or Americans. He's not the God of Israel or the Jews. He's not the God in one part of the, you know, in Western Europe, but not Eastern Europe, or in Asia, not in Asia, but in parts of Africa, or this or that. He's God. Point blank, period. Global, universal. That's who he is. Why have people rejected the Spirit of God? Verse 14 gives us some insights. I want to give those insights to you in case you've been one who said, I don't want to know God, or I reject the moving of his Spirit. Because if you reject the Spirit of God, you'll never come to faith in Christ. And if you never come to faith in Christ, you have no hope in this world, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I want you to hear these, and I'm asking you to ask God right now. Here, we're at the invitation point right now, and I want you to ask God, God, am I in this place? Is this me? Is this anything that I've done? Am I in this place? Number one, many people reject God in order to stay independent. In order to stay independent. It says here, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Part of that distinction is the natural man. That's talking about humanity. That's talking about man thinking he knows best for himself, not spiritually aligned with God, not asking for God's help. And I wonder if that's you. Are you just the independent person saying, I don't need God's help? Can I ask you to be a little, you know, look in the future a little bit. And I don't got to talk about death and dying. Let me talk about getting sick. Let me talk about you not being able to see anymore. Let me talk about you not being able to drive anymore. Let me talk about you not being able to eat on your own. And you're not going to have that prized independence your whole life. You're either going to die or you're going to need the help of somebody. You're going to need to say, I am not strong enough on my own. And if you will someday humble yourself to that worker over in the nursery, over in the, you know, the assisted living center, why won't you humble yourself to God and say, God, I need your help right now? Because it's not all about being the just independent, on my own, able to solve all of my problems. One day, somebody you don't know named Juan Valdez is going to be changing your drawers over here in Providence Center, and you're going to humble yourself to him, and you ought to humble yourself to God first. Can you not be long, you know, have a long enough vision to understand you can't be independent your whole life? And you're going to ask a person to help before you ask God to help? Put that aside. Independence like that is a wishy-washy dream. It's not even good to be that independent. Not that we need to be codependent, not that we need to be, you know, enablers of people, but we need each other, and more than we need each other, we need God. Won't you say yes to the Spirit of God? Say, come into my heart. I need your help. You think it makes you weak to need help? It makes you human. Ask God to come in right now and be your Lord and Savior. Is that you? Stop being so independent. The next thing is they deny the wisdom of God's Spirit. Not only do people want to be so independent, but they deny the wisdom of the Spirit of God because they're so full of the wisdom of this world that if you don't do unto others before they do unto you, you're going to get abused. Hey, that backwards philosophy, that don't come from above. That comes from beneath. That comes from hell. That comes from just human thinking and human wisdom. I remember thinking, why don't we pray through issues? And there was a car that was broke down. It happened to be my car. And I remember before thinking, I ought to pray when my car breaks down. But I didn't that day. I didn't pray. And my father-in-law, Dave Walters, was with me. And I'm under the hood of my, if anybody knows me, I'm not much of a mechanic, but I'm getting under the hood of my old F-150 is big enough for me to fit in the hood. That was the good thing about it. And I'm trying to replace a pulley, and I can't do it. And I'm telling you, I'm this close to cussing. It's July. It's Mississippi. I am sweaty and greasy, and I am ticked off, and I don't know anything about this whole thing. And I am just mad because all my wisdom and ingenuity can't do anything. And then Donnie Bain walks up, Pastor Donnie Bain. He says, hey, brother, and I hadn't really known him. It's like our first meeting. I said, hey, Donnie, how are you? I met him at breakfast once or twice, knew his name. He said, can I pray for you right now? I said, I sure wish you would, man, because I'm cussing in my brain. I'm about to blow my car up. Just blow it up. Leave it there. Let it be towed away. I'm sick of it. And he prayed for Dave and I. And then he walked onto the hospital. He had some work to do. And I'm telling you, I got back in that thing, and that pulley worked. And you might say, that just sounds strange. Well, I don't care how it sounds. I just know I was trying it my way, and we stopped and prayed, and God helped me to get that thing to work. Now, I'm not going to compete with Paul Barrows back there and try to be a mechanic in town, you know, the Spirit-filled mechanic, and do those things, but I'm just telling you, it works. Stop denying the wisdom of God. Stop denying that God can, He can help you in everyday life. People say it's not practical. I love this. God's way is not practical. The Bible says, Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on your one cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, that's just not practical. Really? How practical is it to go punching them back in the face? Hey, let me ask you how practical revenge is. Why don't we go over to Parchman Penitentiary and ask how practical revenge is? Because that's the spirit of this world. We want to get all huffy and puffy because somebody insults us. That's just not practical. Was it practical to go hit them back? Tooth for tooth, eye for eye? Is that practical? How practical is that? There's a whole bunch of people in jail away from their children, away from their sons, away from their daughters, away from their wives, away from their mamas, because they're in jail because they had to pay them back. That's the wisdom of the age. Pay them back. God says, turn the other cheek. That's not the wimpy way out. That's the most practical thing you could do. That's the wisest thing you could do. Lastly, by despising the Spirit of God. To To reject the wisdom, to deny the wisdom means I don't think it works. To despise it is this: I don't think anything of it. I don't think spiritually at all. I don't think God's spirit means anything. I despise it. I count it as common. I count it as no good. I just wonder here today who of you have not felt God pulling at your heart? Who of you have not felt like God has something greater for me? That if I don't know the answers, and the people up in Washington, our leaders, or people in Jackson, they don't know the answers, who knows the answers? Have you never felt your heart kind of reach out to God before? Don't despise that. Don't count that as indigestion or too much caffeine. That's the Spirit of God moving in your heart. Don't reject that. I mean, I wonder right now. I told you it was invitation time. I wonder right now, if God's working in you, if the Spirit of God, who's been released on this world to draw many people to Christ, if he's working on you right now, would you give him the credit? Would you say, yes, I sense that you're working in me. I want you to come into my heart. I want to receive you and all the free things that come into Christ. Is that you? If that's you, would you raise your hand up right now? Raise your hand up. You ain't got to be ashamed of nothing. Jesus died publicly for us. Would you not say, yes, his Spirit is working in me today? Who is that? Let me pray for you. We're just going to take a minute, because sometimes people need a minute. I'll give you a minute to say, God's Spirit is working in me that I might live a life that glorifies Christ. If that's you, raise your hand up now. Amen. 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 I mean, is he working in you? Is he saying, I've got something better for you? How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? He's given all of it. How much do you want? You know, Jesus said, your Father knows how to give you good gifts. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he knows how to give you the Holy Spirit. If you run dry, old Christian, in your walk with Christ, he knows how to refresh you. He knows how to fill you again and again and again and again. Please don't despise the Spirit of God and what he's leading you to do. Please don't deny the wisdom of God, because it's the only wisdom that's going to stand. And please don't overestimate how strong and independent you are, because you can be broken in mind, in body, in spirit, in finances, in independence, in freedom, in all those things, but not a snap away. Why wouldn't you call on God for help? Father, you've seen, you know us. You know exactly what's going on in every heart in this room. You know every hair on every head. Father, would you continue to do your work in us? Help us not to fall into the religious spirit of this age, a religious spirit that we see on the news, that would blow up buildings to make their point, that would kill innocents to make their point, that would rape and starve and steal to make their point, and all in masks because they're so ashamed of themselves. Father, we see that religion. We see the religion in our time that says there is no sin as long as people really feel okay about what they're doing. There is no God who has set an order, and we get to make our own order on marriage and morality. We can kill whom we want to kill. We can anoint and bless whomever we want to anoint and bless. This is the religion of our age. Would you fill us with your Spirit that we might have that relationship with you and know the true and living God and be free? There's no strings on me, O Lord. There ain't no strings on us in the Spirit. We're free. They can't put us anywhere that would steal our freedom. They can't take anything from us that would take our freedom. We are free because the Spirit of God resides in us. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hey, the invitation of God is never over. You don't need to have the pastor at your house. You don't need to be in the church house. God will deal with you right in the middle of your living room. God will hear your cry. Did you hear that song we sang earlier? Oh, you heard my cry. Thank you that I'm saved. Man, that was just awesome. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Amen. Well, we're going to have our offering this morning. And so I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come forward for the morning offering. And as they come, you just keep letting God deal with you. Let God deal with you. Father God, I pray right now as we take up this offering that one, you'd continue your work through your Spirit, the sweet Holy Spirit of God. He's loosed, and there's no way we should bind him or prohibit him or quench him or grieve him, because he's loosed and we want to receive from him and we want to know what he reveals about your deep character so we can know you personally. Father, as we take up this offering, bless us, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.